getting you started, I think, for the weekend and getting into some great tasting ingredients and food. Welcome to the Thursday Brunch, your weekly food show. And let me get straight to introducing my fine panel of guests today. First off, renowned Dubai-based chef. He has made his mark in Dubai, opening some of the best restaurants like La Petite Maison, catapulted into the world's best restaurants list. Also went on to open the award-winning La Serre Bistro and Boulangerie, and now the Lighthouse in Design 3, D3. It's a beautiful curated space for food and design. That's just a little bit of what this man is up to. He describes himself as a lazy chef, getting great ingredients to do all the work. Well, those ingredients have been very busy indeed. Welcome, Chef Izu Ani. Hello, Izu.
Hello, that was very kind of you.
It's great to have you at table today, bringing in your olive oil from your own land in Greece.
Yes. I mean, the ingredient factor in my cooking is the pinnacle. Basically, you have to have the best produce to be able to produce anything decent. And then from there, understanding the produce is then what you take it to a different level when you understand the product. So it's important to really delve into where it comes from. And I always say that you have to always say hello to your ingredients, because if you don't say hello to your ingredients, it won't let you into the secrets of what it can give you. So it's very important to have a relationship. It's not just cutting or chopping. It's first understanding, making a commitment. It's like when you meet a young lady, you don't just go and kiss her. You have to say hello first. I
mean, it's polite, isn't it?
Exactly. And then you say, how are you? What's your name? Where's your family from?
Yeah.
And then that's where the conversation starts.
So show respect.
Exactly.
I should have started off with that song, shouldn't I? It's great to have you at table today. We are going to be focusing on olive oil throughout the show. So any questions on that, on olive oil, wanting to know how to know the taste and the what makes a good olive oil, let us know on 4001 and your preferences as well. And at table today, joining us from Bice and Bice Sky Bar at the Hilton Dubai, a fine Italian restaurant that has really been established on our food scene for many a year. Always a pleasure to have Chef Andrea Falcone, who is the head chef, has been head chef at Roberto's as well, also executive chef at Firenze Restaurant and Lounge Emirates Towers, but here wonderfully with his Italian olive oil from Bice. That is Chef Andrea. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
It's great to have you at table with us today.
Thank you so much.
You brought lots of facts and figures with you. So
yes, to be ready.
And special guest welcoming to the UAE for the first time. And she's going to be hosting a bespoke 5-course menu this evening alongside her special olive oil presentation. She's an expert in olive oil from Spain. She has her Michelin-starred restaurant Monastrell there in Alicante in Spain. She'll be appearing this evening at Mora on the 72nd floor of the JW Marriott Marquis Hotel. A real pleasure to welcome to the show Chef Maria Jose San Roman. Hello, Chef Maria.
Hello.
And welcome to the UAE.
Thank you
so much. So what have you brought with you today?
Well, I brought olive oil, of course, and some bread.
Okay. Tell us about your olive oil.
Well, you know, I must say Spain is the bigger producer in the world. You may know that. We do 1,700,000 tons, which is huge, really big producers. And among the quantity, there is also the quality. I brought varietals. That's what we do in Spain. We don't just talk about olive oil, but in my cuisine, I talk about varietals because there is a chance to use it as a condiment. It depends which variety you mix it with what. We are going to do that with bread, and you will appreciate that bread tastes different with different olive oils. And this happens with everything, with potatoes, with fish, with salmon, with artichoke. You have to pair it.
So we're looking forward to finding out about those pairings. And yes, so Spain, the largest producer, but I believe Italy is the largest exporter of olive oil. Is that right?
Yes, it's right.
Is
and
it?
Also one of the biggest consumer
you are
all over the world, yeah.
But I think you're also forgetting Greece. I mean, I know it's a lonely little country up there, but Greece, I think they've got the most fabulous varieties of olive oil. I mean, I've just bought my own land because I'm so passionate about having the best produce. So I just went out and said, okay, I'm going to go buy land in Greece, as you do anyway. And we have the first harvest this year, and I've got it in the studio. I know you can't see it, but it smells beautiful and it tastes beautiful. For me, the Greece olive oil, the first time I tasted it and I had the bug to want to have more and be a part of it, it's just amazing, the character of it. And of course, if you understand the variety of this olive, which is the Kornicki olives, it's amazing. It's small, you don't get a big yield from it, but the elements and the spices and I mean, it's just amazing. You got to taste it.
Well, it's very rounded. You were winners last year in New York.
Thank you.
Of many gold medals, but olive oil can be gold everywhere. I mean, I agree. Australia is making good olive oil, the United States. You can be gold everywhere if you do the right thing.
And especially Spain, south of Italy and Greece, having almost the same weather, you know, on the Mediterranean Sea. So the factory, they're very similar.
We are not going to fight for the country.
I love it. We will find out what makes that great taste as it comes to the soil, the climate, what it needs, and how to make it, how to process and make olive oil as well. Someone's just texting here to say Greek olive oil, more of the green colour, not yellowish. It's more rich, used in salads and directly on bread with tomato and cheese. How do you like to take your olive oil? Let me know on 4001. Somebody here from Dan, he's saying, I recently purchased a 200 milliliter of extra virgin olive oil with 24 karat gold flakes. It costs 1,500 dirhams and it's out of this world.
Guess the ingredient.
So here's your first clue. Today's mystery ingredient dates back to Pompeii, where the Romans used it to produce and export a fermented spicy sauce known as garum. Garum had a long shelf life, which has made it's made it good for long distance commerce and was produced in industrial quantities. At table today on the Thursday brunch, we have Chef Maria here. Wonderful to have her at table with us today, alongside Chef Andrea from Bice and Chef Izu from the Lighthouse, the cafe restaurant concept, art concept, design concept that is in D3. Now, we're talking about olive oil. Let's go back to this message from Dan. I recently purchased 200 milliliters of extra virgin olive oil with 24 karat gold flakes. It costs 1,500 dirhams. It's out of this world. I had a sample before I purchased it, but I still have no idea what I'm going to do with it, what I'm going to use it on. So your thoughts then. Let's start with you, Maria.
Well, I hope gold doesn't affect the taste, because it would be a pity to add gold, because we actually call gold to our olive oil. I think it's not a need. If you need gold, then you can put it in, as long as it doesn't affect the taste.
And what you're saying is that it was olive oil itself in its purest form is liquid gold to you.
This brand I bring in is called Gold from Bylen. So
what you're saying is you don't need to put 24 karat gold flakes into your olive oil.
No.
What do you think, Izu?
I mean, to be honest, it's that kind of bling kind of atmosphere going on here with the gold in an olive oil. Such a wonderful product. Don't need to have an additional kind of something to detract from it. As Maria, I mean, eloquently put, the olive oil is gold. When it's done well, you're basically tainting it by adding something else. Gold is wonderful, if you like eating gold, but I just don't believe it really gives you any additional into the taste. So it's more of a marketing gimmick that really, I mean, at the end, it's a commercial world here.
Right. What do you think, Chef Andrea?
I think they say that the oil is one of the ingredients, and then as less as you touch, better it is, because it's already pure, it's already...
Exactly.
You know, it's already something fantastic, then you shouldn't actually touch too much.
Actually, less is always more.
Less is always more. That's what many chefs say. But what brings you joy? And it's interesting, isn't it? From the crockery or the cutlery that you use, to where you're seated, to how... There's a lot goes around food, as well as in it, that makes us feel good, makes us feel better.
No, honestly, to be honest, I look at food as like an artwork in the sense of like when I see a picture, it's my interpretation. The joy it gives me is what I see. So you can't tell someone what to taste or how to taste it because everybody's palate is different. So we have to understand that we taste something. We can't obligate somebody else to say, "You, this is what I'm tasting." So everybody takes joy in what they taste. It's their own individual palate. So I'm always against the saying, "Do you taste this?" No, let them enjoy it in their own form. Maybe their flavor palette is very simple and they take the simple things what they enjoy. So you can't really tell someone this is good, this is not good. If they enjoy it and I feel comfortable in what they're eating, I think that's cool.
So I think Dan might be feeling a lot of joy with those 24 karat gold flakes.
Exactly. I think if he finds pleasure in having a gold in his olive oil, that's cool as well.
Okay. Maria, tell me about your olive oil and where you're from in Spain.
Well, I'm located in Alicante, where we also produce olive oil. But Spain, only Jaén is more olive oil there than the rest of the world together. So we rely on olive oil because of the Romans. They decided Spain was the place for producing olive oil. They took Italy for the wheat, and they were producing everywhere in the empire. So we got olives since then. So we grow, we know. We've been in the tank since ever. So people don't have the knowledge, even in Spain. They don't know that olive oil is spice. And olive oil, talking about this carat, this gold bottle, I will look at the expiring date. Because I'm not concerned about the gold. What about if the olive oil is already expired and the gold is there? You will get a really, really bad thing. And olive oil doesn't last forever and doesn't get better. The fresher, the best.
Exactly.
So what is the shelf life of olive oil? What should you be looking out for?
I mean, for me, olive oil, as Maria said, that it's better to be eating fresh. Unfortunately, when we go to the supermarket, we don't have that knowledge when we're buying something. So the simplest way I look at I never buy olive oil from the supermarket, just to let everybody know. But anyway, now I've got my own land. Anyway.
We're not all lucky to have our own land either, aren't we? So, and you are a professional chef. So what are we looking for as a customer, as a consumer? When you say that, you know, it can expire quite quickly, are we looking for to know that?
Basically, when you go into the supermarket to buy olive oil, you can't really open up the olive oil and start tasting it, smelling it and all that. So the indicators are basically the date. And one thing also I use as well is the price point, because you can never get a good product at a very low price. It's impossible, because just to pick the olives, it's manual. So you have to pay the labor. And each olive that you get, I mean, the yield of the oil is about like maybe 10% to 12%. So it isn't much that you get from each kilo that you have. So to have a good olive oil, it does cost. It's impossible. And because olive oil is something that has to be produced fresh, so as soon as you pick it from the tree, you kind of have to process it very quickly. So you have to get it to the processing plant, because it'll start to ferment. When it starts to ferment, it basically starts to change the character of the oil. So that also takes a lot of logistics. So it does cost money. So that's the kind of indicators when you're always looking to buy olive oil.
I think there is a very interesting guides online. You can have an application of guides that tell you who are the best producers in the world since a few years. So you can get gold medals worldwide. You should trust the brands. But once you think the brand is good, you have to see when is the production. This bottle I'm holding is production of 1617, which means it's just done. And it will expire on the 17th. No, on the 18th, but better consume it during this year.
Right.
That's what they say here.
Yeah.
So once you find your brand that you can locate through an application, there's many, but the Italian ones, they're very good. And if you want gold, or you want silver, or you want another metal.
Yeah, and I think it's just through. Getting, and we're going to find out more because we're going to be tasting some of your olive oils to just understand what we're looking for, to know what is good or not good, you know, for the discerning palate. For you, Chef Andrea, what do you look for when you're tasting an olive oil?
Most important is to see for what you use the olive oil. you know, for which kind of ingredient you use for salad, is it for to put on top of some meat, for vegetables, or, you know, the use is most important.
But what do you look for? What are you, I mean, we know that it goes on salads and vegetables, but how do you know? What are you looking for as a chef? What kind of taste profile?
You know, you need to always to take care of the main ingredient. Obviously, if you have a nice piece of sea bass, you want to put one strong oil, then it will go into cover the flavor, and it will go to, you know, change the taste of the sea bass. So you're going to use one oil, then you have a medium body, so it goes along, and you can feel, yes, the oil, but also the ingredient.
There's one point I want to make clear. Olive oil that we have is a living organism. It changes, it moves. Not because it's bottled in a bottle, everything stops, freezes. It's going to last for like years to come. As soon as it's been processed, it still carry on living. And as it gets older, like we are, we grow in refinery, but in this case, we lose certain properties. And this is something that we must remember. Olive oil, I mean, the olive oil that I use, I don't filter. But as it gets older, it starts to basically separate. So all the residues and all the segments and all the flavors starts to drop away. And that does affect the flavor. So we must remember that. When we see an olive oil, exactly like Miria said, the day that was produced, and also the best, not the expiry date, but the best, because olive oil will go rancid eventually, but it will lose the quality, the flavour.
Joining me at table today, as we're about to get, there's been a lot of swigging going on there in the Thursday brunch kitchen, and we're going to be sharing some of the taste profiles of our esteemed guests today when it comes to olive oil, including Chef Maria Jose San Roman. She's Michelin starred with her restaurant in Alicante. She has a collection of 6 restaurants, artisan bakery, and she's really made a massive mark on the Spanish gastronomy scene, and it's a real pleasure to have her here in the UAE and with us today. Chef Maria, just quickly, the Michelin star, when did that happen?
4 years ago.
And how was that for you?
Well, I when I didn't have a Michelin star, I thought, well, this is a stupid thing. We are so good. But I think it's the best thing that happened in my life. I was so happy. I'm still very happy because it's something that you don't ask for, you don't pay for. They just give it to you. So, and they can take it out. So I feel really honored to have the star. And it gives you the chance to be here, because if you don't have a Michelin star, you are nobody in our world. I mean, if you go somewhere else, but in Europe, you need to have a Michelin star to be a chef. It's like a degree.
Oh, it's amazing. It's really amazing. Your restaurant, tell us a little bit about the restaurant.
Well, I try to be local, because the more I travel, the more local I want to be. I'm lucky because I live on the paella land. We live in the rice region of Spain. So I try to be very much on rice. We have 7 courses about rice. And now I'm working on whole grain rice paella. And it's amazing. People are ordering whole grain paella. Can you imagine? I'm calling it this paella. Well, we like to talk about rice.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Also at table today, and I know has spent a little bit of time in Spain, as well as France, as well as Greece, and here in the UAE, bringing us some of the finest restaurants and food concepts. And a new one just opened in D3, that is The Lighthouse, and that is Chef Izu Ani. Chef Izu, Spain, you've spent a bit of time there.
Yeah, I spent quite a lot of love there, because I worked there for free, actually, for 9 months. I had an ambition to go and see what the top chefs were doing. So to be able to do that, you had to give your time for free, and it was worth the time I spent. Now I really loved it. I started in San Sebastian, stayed 6 months there, and then went to Barcelona. Basically rattled around that region for a while, working in simple places. But that's the thing, I went to classic places. Talking about paella, I went to a place where they basically specialized in paella, and it was so amazing to see just the way to do it. We think it's such a simple thing to do, but it isn't. And then the fritto misto that you put inside and everything, and there's so much that you can gain from it when you do it properly. When we use the word aioli, people thought it's a mayonnaise. It isn't really. It's just olive oil and garlic, emulsified. And to do it properly, you really got to know what you're doing. But just the classics. I just want to pick up what Maria said about the Michelin star. She said that it was given to her and she wasn't expected, but she worked for it. That's the thing. I mean, it wasn't free. You still have to dedicate and put a lot of passion. So she can't really, she can't be too humble. She worked for that. I mean, so.
And you do work incredibly hard.
Exactly.
And I know that, you know, you've mentioned there where you were giving your time free when you were starting out, but I know that from the UK you went to France and you were working in kitchens, and then in the evenings or in the early mornings you would go to the local boulangerie and work to learn how to bake, and you just all those hours and how that's followed through. And we will pick up more of your story, of all of your stories throughout the show, but you're constantly, we were in Ethiopia together a couple of years ago, and you were inspired, you were learning, you've brought some of those inspirations to us here in the UAE, the avocados.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but to be honest, you have to travel to keep the innovative, the creative. You should never put a ceiling to your creativity. And to be able to do that, you have to open your mind to absorb in different cultures, because the culture is the food. So that's the first step. And then you just keep evolving. I keep saying the survival of any animal race is moving. And you can never stop that inquisitiveness. There's always... with your eyes. This is one of the reasons why I opened my own company called Y77, because the reason why there's a why there, because we always ask questions, and to be able to find answers you must ask questions, and to evolve your creativity is all about that question.
Wonderful. And at table today, Chef Andrea Falcone from Biche and Biche Sky Bar. He's head chef there at the Hilton Dubai Jumeirah Resort, bringing us wonderful Italian cuisine. Originally from Florence, you trained in Florence.
Yes, I born and grew up in Florence, and until I was 25th, I lived over there before I moved to London for a couple of years to get experience, to get, you know, to know the language, to know. And after I moved here 6 years ago now, and here I am.
And what's exciting you at the moment? What's on the menu at Biche?
You know, we renovated on October. So since there we decide to keep the classic items then we brought Biche for the past 16 years to be successful how it was and how it is. Plus we had some new plate to give a little bit of a refreshing touch to the menu, to the venue. Now the venue is having a new interior, is having a terrace, so it's something different.
Yeah, but what's the ingredient that's exciting you at the moment?
You know, I'm trying always to source the what we can from Europe. You know, try to get olive oil, try the best olive oil you can get. We have a huge selection of Italian olive oil. We have a trolley where we go around the
so
the
you rest. Get to select.
Yeah, we go, you know, with the tables. For example, you have our rock salt sea bass. We go there with the olive oil trolley and we talk to the guests to choose their own olive oil and to put it on themselves on the fish. So it's something, you know, it's something particular and an extra touch.
Well, let's have a look, begin our tasting session. Now, Maria, you guide us through this. You're going to be holding a presentation this evening at Mora, the JW Marriott Marquis. So let's begin. You've all bought an olive oil in, but let's start with you and talk us through what you have there.
Well, I brought two very different olive oils. One is called Arbequina, which is mostly located in Catalonia, Barcelona and around. This is the Arbequina. It's a very mild olive oil. Everybody likes Arbequina. Are you trying Arbequina now?
I am.
So if you try it in your hands, a little bit in your hands, you will see that it's very fragrant and it's very fruity. You can taste banana for sure and apples. Mm. It's very much banana.
It's amazing, yeah.
Very much banana. So if you eat it raw, you can make a mayonnaise. I'm doing a béarnaise tonight at Mora with this olive oil. And you don't miss the butter. For all people that cannot eat lactics, it's very interesting to have a béarnaise out of olive oil, warm.
And since they say a lot of people in the Mediterranean, you're Italian and Spanish, will drink it pure in the morning.
Yes.
Will you do that?
I do. Of course I do. Look at me. I'm 80.
She looks well.
It's the elixir of life, is it? It's taste beautifully. Who else has tasted it? Chef, did you taste this one?
Yes. The taste is very nice.
It's funny because we all brought different ones.
Yes.
No, it's got a lot of character as well. It's a smooth, very smooth, but it does have that little bit of the interesting. Bitter, but it's a different character to bitter. It's not harsh. You can taste it, but the spiciness is...
But it's strong, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a nice strong.
I like it. No, absolutely. Exactly. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's very welcoming. It's not something that will knock you out. It invites you and it lets you into its little secrets slowly as you taste it.
You said something. It's very mild in the mouth. It's not thick.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have so much acidic oil. It is about 40%. But the other one I have is 80% more acidic oil. So it's very mild in the mouth, it's very easy to drink, and it's very good with vegetables. It matches perfect with all of them.
I mean, talking about drinking olive oil, I'm working with this young lady. She's very interesting. Her name is Sarah, by the way. I'm plugging her. Anyway, she does something very weird every morning. Yeah, and I think that's the weirdest thing. You can't really get close to her. She has a little bit of garlic, puts in olive oil, macerates it, and then drinks it. It's a very healthy, it helps you to prevent, because when I was traveling around Asia, they perceive food as a medicine.
Absolutely,
It basically, medicine, that kind of, the food is a medicine in the sense that it prevents, but the medicine that we receive is to basically cure something. But imagine if you eat well, balanced, you're preventing, so you don't need to have this chemical kind of intake.
It's what you call a Mediterranean diet.
Exactly.
Putting vegetables, whatever. Yeah, so a bit of everything.
Exactly. It's a good balance. So it's incredible that we look at it as oil, but it is our medicine that we should be considering and taking in our daily diet.
Jamal's asking, what is virgin olive oil and where best to use this, or when best to use this? So when we'll come back, we'll address that for you, Jamal, as well as other messages coming in. Lots of questions, actually, on olive oil, when to use it, with what, and also using olive oil in our cuisine, which we have got a little treat for you coming up later on with Chef Izu's rather special dessert. I'm saying no more. You'll have to wait and see. We are tasting olive oils at the moment, and Chef Maria bringing her fine experience to us at table. We've just tasted the first one from Spain. What's next to taste?
Well, we have another one called Picual variety, which is in the opposite size. It's very thick, it's very tasty, it's very fragrant, and it's very herbal. You can taste the herbs.
Yeah.
You can taste the artichoke. You can taste the bitter and the green almonds. So it's all green, all about green. And it looks green, but we shouldn't be affected by the color, because only some olive oils can be green, and it doesn't affect the taste. People think the green are the best, and this is another thing that is not true. It can be pale, it can be yellow, and it can be as good, because the two of them, as you can see in the plate, one is not green, and they're picking the same time, October. Only 10% of the olives you get is oil. You get only 10% from that olives. So the picual normally is used to fry, because it's very much acid oleic. Is that the name in English? The acid oleic here is like 80%. So you can fry on a very high temperature, and the olive oil doesn't die.
Well, that's, people are always a little concerned, aren't they, about frying oils and what oils to use. And people say use an olive oil or a coconut oil if you're going to heat it. So it's good to know how you can heat it, you know, to what temperatures, to what to be aware of. Also, when it comes to virgin olive oil, Jamal was asking, what is virgin olive oil? What's the difference and when best to use it? So virgin olive oil. Andrea?
Yes. In the olive oil is, you can separated in different from extra virgin to olive oil, and you know, after there is so many process involved, then changing the name of the oil, no, the extra virgin olive oil, you need to have less than 0.8 of acidity. That's the most important things. And it was asking as well when to best to be
cook it, or yeah, eat it.
Yeah, eat it for me is as soon as possible, because as Jesus said before, is a living product. So if you get just for me, like for example, 1 week after you harvest and you get the oil, is the best. You know, in my place in Tuscany, we are lucky. We are surrounded by olive tree, so we are lucky. Then we can get, I think, so 3-4 days after the press it, we can get in the restaurant. You know, from artisan producer, obviously. But you know, the flavor when you open, the taste is something, you know.
But one thing about extra virgin is no faults. It doesn't have to have faults. If it's faulty, it will never be extra virgin in the print. You can get virgin with faults.
Okay.
But extra virgin,
so it doesn't have to be purest form of olive oil.
No faults. I mean, if it's a vinegar and it's not nice taste, it won't be on extra virgin.
I mean, to add to that very briefly, to basically calculate the yield, it's also depending on the temperature that you're pressing your olive oil, because the warmer you heat up your press, the more olive oil you get. But you kill the natural flavors and the sediment and basically all the properties that are held in there. You're extracting more, but that's definitely not the virgin, because you're basically squeezing more into the core. So you're going to get more bitter taste. The olive oil is not going to be nice, but you're going to get a bigger yield. And that's the thing where, when you're dealing with olive oil, there's people that it's commercially viable for them to make it a higher temperature. And then coming back to the acidity level, the my olive oil, which we've just pressed this year, we have 0.04% acidity. It's been tested, and we press it at 27 degrees, which is literally cold for what we're doing, but we have a lesser yield, and that's what the choice we've made, because we want a better rounded olive oil where there's no bitterness, because people are allergic to bitter at the end of the day. Bitter to a certain degree, of course, to just give a different character to the olive oil. So it's not just one tone. You want different tones, the spicy, the fruity, but the bitterness, you just want to keep it as low as possible.
So yeah, what I've got here is that you assess on three criteria with olive oil: fruitiness, bitterness, and pepperiness.
Exactly.
Pepperiness is right.
Exactly. Yeah. Spicy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that comes at the back of the throat. When you digested it, it just comes up. It warms up, and because your body's warming up the olive oil as well. And as well, the reason why when we taste olive oil, we sip air, because we want to break it down, because olive is a dense mass, and if it covers the palate, because your tongue has these minute little holes which then the olive oil goes down into, but if it's too dense, it blankets it, and your brain doesn't have the time to focus on the different flavors. So, but if it's broken down, it coats these little holes. It gives your brain the time to digest and analyze the flavors and to enjoy it.
I got something to say. Nobody drinks olive oil. I mean, we are talking about tasters. I'm a taster. When I taste, I do the way you do, and we look for the spiciness and all these things. But when you cook with olive oil, you have to avoid this bitterness by using with the right ingredient. If you put olive oil just with bread, bitterness will disappear. So it depends where you match it. And you always match it, because it's for cooking. We don't drink like wine. Mm. We tasters, we suffer the bitterness and the spiciness, but when you mix it, you are bringing an ice cream today, and it's not bitterness there. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
but to add to that, because at the end of the day, when you have an olive oil which is too much bitter, it does affect the end product of your dish, because it diverts the flavor, and your palate will pick it up. So it depends the level of bitterness you're talking about.
No, I don't agree with this. It depends the product you mix it with. With some products, bitterness will disappear absolutely. Sugar.
So when we come back...
That's cheating in a way, because you're basically covering it with something else that is not normally... So, I don't know. For me, a pure product should give its character. And if there's elements that will affect something else, then that balance doesn't happen.
So when we come back, we'll talk more. Yeah. And we'll also explore then use of olive oils with different foods and how that flavour changes and what you should be using. A couple of people have been asking about that. Salad, cooking, but actually what goes with which? What's the best one? So we'll get to those. Keep your messages coming in. Also, Jason's saying, my friend gave me olive oil from Lebanon. How good is that? We've also got a product here from Spinneys, which is from Syria, olive oil from Syria. So, you know, interesting. Keep your messages coming in on that text number, and there's more clues to our mystery ingredient coming up as well.
Guess the ingredient.
This is to go into the draw to win dinner for two this evening at Mora Restaurant, which is at the JW Marriott Marquis. I was there last evening. One of the most impressive views of the city. Yes, on the 72nd floor. And Chef Maria Jose San Roman, award-winning, Michelin-starred chef. She's going to be there for one night only. She's going to be giving a bespoke five-course menu and a special presentation on olive oil. She's here in the studio with us today, but you get to enjoy the evening if you are the winner of our mystery ingredient. We're also giving away a hamper from Spinneys, including lots of wonderful olive oils and condiments. So here's your next clue. Today's mystery ingredient is good for strong bones and a healthy heart, as it's rich in omega-3 fatty acids, as well as vitamins A and D. And the ancient Romans used today's mystery ingredient as a cure for stomach upsets and ulcers. Now, today's mystery ingredient is known as becquerones in Spain, and hamsi in Turkey, and kozuva in South India. I apologize for my pronunciations. The traditional method of processing and preserving today's mystery ingredient is to gut and salt it in brine and then to pack them in oil or salt, which results in its characteristic strong flavour and turns the flesh a deep grey colour. Now, quickly reintroducing my wonderful guest today, bringing three chefs together at table, talking and tasting olive oil. We have Chef Maria Jose San Roman, a real pleasure to have her here from Alicante in Spain. She's Michelin star with her restaurant Monastrol. What does that mean in Spanish?
Monastrol is a grape.
Ah, lovely. Well, it's great to have you here with us today, alongside Chef Andrea Falcone from Biche and Biche Sky Bar. He's the head chef there at the Hilton Dubai Jumeirah Resort. Recently renovated this fine Italian restaurant that's been very much established here in the UAE for many years. Lots of new things happening there. Really looking forward to checking out the refurb and some of the new dishes on the menu. And also at table today, a busy man. He says he's a lazy chef. Well, it's because he says it's all about great ingredients. Well, he's been very busy indeed. He opened La Petite Maison here in the UAE. He went on to open La Serre Bistro and Boulangerie, and now his new concept, the Lighthouse in Design 3, a curated space for food and design. And I was there having lunch the other day, and it's buzzy, it's cool, it's trendy, and bringing some delicious tasty food to us, as always, Izu. The Lighthouse, the meaning behind this, I love it. Tell me.
The meaning behind Lighthouse?
Yeah, because of the whole, well, I was reading about sort of, you know, the Virginia Woolf set in London, and the Lighthouse was all about, you know, networking and talking and developing ideas.
Exactly. But, I mean, I really got to give the credit to where it belongs. It's to Hasham. Hasham and Hani, they're the two major partners. They're the one. Hasham had the crazy idea to create. He was an ex-banker that didn't find joy in continuing doing that kind of field. So he said, I want to be creative. I want to give something to make people's day different every single day. So he came to me about nearly 2 years ago, or less than that, with an idea, a crazy idea. I was at La Serre. We had a coffee. And then he explained and said, this is what I want to do, and da da da. And the rest
is history.
Is history, basically. But it's, I mean, I took on this project mainly because it was something different, in the sense that I'm not the focal point there. I'm playing a supporting role, which I enjoy, actually, because I'm comfortable with my what I'm going to bring. I don't want to be the person that people go to. People come to this space basically to I mean, this space gives you the impression where you go somewhere because you're happy, because you're going to buy a present for somebody, so you're happy to buy a present. you're going to have a coffee because you want to enjoy that time with someone else or by yourself. So it's a happy place. It's really not a place which is like focused on one element alone. It's ever changing.
It's light, it's breezy. Exactly. You've got artwork on the wall. Exactly. You've got grey around you. So you're already walking into a space, lifts you. And exactly. Then you have this fresh food and the salads and the main courses that you're serving up. So we'll get more into that later, as I will with everybody. But, you know, it's a beautiful space and I think very welcome. You've got the food and beverage all going alongside, so it's nice to have that. It's sort of accessible for everyone.
Exactly. Which is for every day. I mean, it doesn't have to be on
breakfast,
a special occasion.
Exactly. Yeah, just but great quality. So let's take a look and taste of the Italian olive oil at table. So Chef Andrea, talk us through your olive oil.
Yes, I brought two olive oil, one from two very different region in Italy. One is from Liguria, then is close to France.
Yeah.
It's the first region you get when you take the border from Monte Carlo to Italy. And the other one is from Puglia. Then it's much closer to Greece. So there are two different expression of olive oil. And the one from Puglia is the variety of the oil is Parananza. Then it's one particular variety of olives that you find only in the south of Italy. And Puglia as well is producing 42% of the olive oil in Italy. So it's a region with the perfect balance between sun, between weather, between wind, between soil. It's a perfect place where to grow olives. And the oil is coming out from this one. It's a fruity, let's say, middle body, not full body oil. Might give like a really good, good acidity and good taste on the palate. And the other one is from Lecchino, is another variety of olives, and is much lighter than the other one.
Yes, they're both delicious. I'm dying for pairing this olive oil with the food.
Yeah. I mean, what springs to mind? What would you pair it with?
Which product?
Yeah. Or food wise, what would you pair it with?
You know, normally what I do is when I have an ingredient, new ingredient in my restaurant, I dip it into the different varieties I have. Normally I have all the different varieties. The main product in the olive oil, and we all in the kitchen with my team, we decide some oils are, this doesn't go with this, the other one doesn't go. And suddenly we find one that, oh my God.
Now it works.
This is so much better with the olive oil.
Right.
So from that time, only choose this dip.
And that's nice for us at home. We could do that this weekend. We can have fun at the table, testing and trying different olive oils, different foods, and working out what works.
With potato.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Simple.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Chef, what would you use your olive oil?
From south of Italy, I will go to a meat, in Italy, we didn't use much sauce on top of the meat. Especially, when we go for, like, for example, T-bone steak, then it's very common on my place. We just put some salt. So this will go perfectly with support each other on the taste. The charcoal and the strength of the beef, it goes with the oil. Or you can put on top as well this one on some legumes, like, let's say, beans.
Mm.
We have a lot of variety of beans.
Nice. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People texting in, somebody here, no name, saying, I'm obsessed with olive oil. Thing is, bread, tomato. Also saying about, mom one's always the best. Having said that, the flavour of olive oil from Italy, Spain, France, Portugal, North Africa, Middle East is really different. So taste and decide for yourself. This is from an Italian guy with no name, so thanks for that insight as well. And also mentioning before, somebody texted in saying, I've got olive oil from Lebanon, and what do you think about that? Have you had olive oil from Lebanon, Izu?
Yes, I have actually, but I like what the text in. Olive oil is subjective. It fits your palate. I never like to shoehorn everything into this is the best. Everyone has that's where we should always have that argument very liberally, that no one olive oil is the best. Your palate is different, and for me the olive oil from Lebanon is very good actually, because I visit very frequently to there. I'm a great lover of that country. It's just got everything. It's got the sea, it's got the mountains, it's got literally everything that you need to be happy in food.
Yeah,
I mean the vegetables,
and the fact you're trying to source your food as locally as possible is bringing it in like Ethiopia, Lebanon,
Greece. I mean I used to have a tomato, the mountain tasted, and it's meaty. You put it with olive oil with a salt, honestly, you just got a smile on your face. You just don't do anything else. I mean, I just wanted to make a quick point before, because about the bitterness of the olive oil. I don't believe that if you get an olive oil which you feel that is bitter, that you should try and mask it with something. It's like getting a tomato that is not tasty. You put sugar on it. It's not that. You have to get something that meets your requirement. Not everybody, because in your palate, the first flavor that you taste is a sweet. It's the tip of your tongue. And that's what allows the rest of the flavors to come, the rest of the your tasting to happen. Because if it's aggressing you, the bitterness, then it doesn't allow the rest of the elements to have its own defining in your palate. So I don't sit in the fence, but I give people the choice to do what they believe that they will meet their requirements.
Nikki says olive oil from Liguria is amazing, and also
it's
chef,
the best actually.
Tajaska quality is
one of the best.
I love this. Chef Andrea, you just said to me before, what did you just tell me, comparing Italy with the United States when it comes to olive oil?
Yeah, that we are actually consuming two times the quantity of the oil that the US consuming in Italy.
In Italy, you're eating twice as much olive oil than the population of the United States.
600,000 of tons of olive oil be consumed.
It's that Mediterranean diet. You have to get it in there.
Enrico says toasted bread with salt and olive oil is absolute heaven. Keep your recipe ideas coming in when it comes to olive oil.
We call it fettunta.
Yeah. Simplicity.
It's coming when it's coming the oil. Usually you use in T-bone steak, and before you eat the T-bone steak, you put the bread on the grill together with the T-bone steak, so you get crunchy, yeah. And you brush it with the garlic, you put olive oil.
Incredible. Stay with me. When we come back, we will be revealing Chef Izu's cake, dessert, pudding, if you will.
We are waiting there, actually.
And what it is and how we're incorporating olive oil, so stay with us.
So good also with the
ingredient. It's so good indeed. Yes, and let me give you your final clue to our mystery ingredient today to go into the draw where you could win possibly dinner for two this evening at Mora at the JW Marriott Marquis. This is being hosted by Chef Maria, who's with us today. Hello, Chef. It's like this is my world every Thursday. I've just been saying to the chefs, you're in my kitchen today. Hold them down, but it's amazing. We're going to get to it in a moment. Let me please just share this final clue to the mystery ingredient to get this wonderful prize, dinner for two at Mora this evening with Chef Maria, along with the hamper from Spinney's, filled with olive oils, balsamic vinegars, sauces, all different olive products. So fabulous. So here you go. Here's your final clue. It is today's mystery ingredient is used in several sauces and condiments, including Worcestershire sauce, Caesar salad dressing, tapenade, and gentleman's relish. Today's mystery ingredient can transform a dish. Don't say it. spread onto
he
prosciutto.
He wants to be the winner.
Or used to make the Italian bagna quadra, which is added to a mixture of butter or olive oil. There you go. Do you know our ingredient? You've got about 6 minutes, actually 5 minutes, to still get into the draw, and we will pull a winner.
I
just
can give
my
phone number. Yeah. We can share the prize.
I can text someone.
Now, we have now been served. Chef Izu, reveal and tell us what you are serving us now.
Basically, we have an olive oil and apple cake. And the mixture, I mean, people say it's a weird mixture, but this is where your perception gets a bit disturbed, because your mind said dessert with olive oil doesn't work together. Yes. But it does work together. Mm. Because we forget that olive oil is basically a transporter of flavors. And it becomes a chameleon. It changes towards helping the flavors go to the right direction. And because it's got its own characters, it helps to evolve it as well. So as we're tasting now,
you must check out the pictures online. It is a work of art. It's so beautiful to just look at this beautiful piece of cake with berries and fruits over it, and this homemade ice cream as well. Chef Maria, you are an expert on olive oils. What do you make of this dessert?
Well, I love it. I just said to the chef, this is like cream. When you add cream to a dessert, you're adding a fat. Mm. This is the best fat you can add. And it's for everybody. It's no allergies. Everybody can take olive oil. Not lactics.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And how I was using it at the lighthouse the other day, it's very Moorish. It's very comforting. And you literally, you made it with olive oil, but you cut it in half and then you drizzle the olive oil over the sponge, the apple cake sponge. Chef Andrea, what do you think?
I think so. Almost finished already. I think so. That is the best answer they can give. No, it's the combination, the balance is wonderful. It's,
I mean, I developed this recipe when we was opening Lighthouse because we were going for the influence of the Mediterranean, the Levant, more like it. So we wanted to have the base of the ingredients from there. So everything that we did, I mean, we're not going to say we're doing Iranian or Turkish or Greece, but we're just using the influences, the ingredients that you associate with that kind of food. So everything that we did had that kind of narrative to it.
Absolutely superb, and just inspires you a little bit, I think, of what you can do at home as well, and when it comes to exploring food and ingredients and using olive oil. We've also posted up online from the UK's Guardian newspaper 10 best olive oil recipes to inspire you as well. And this evening, Chef Maria, talk us through a little bit of what to expect on the menu. You've put together this bespoke menu, 5 courses at Mora at the JW Marriott Marquis.
Okay, then we are going to have vegetables because I'm always very attached to where I live, as I told you, and I try to be local and regional and seasonal. So autumn, winter, we grow artichokes in Alicante. That's why my garden, I always have a garden of vegetables. It depends on the time of the year. This time is going to be with artichokes, salsify, chestnuts, and herbs in a consommé of celery, all vegetarian, and it's one thing I match with picual olive oil, which is the main ingredient there. Everything comes together very, very well, and is a delicious and very nice looking plate. On the second course, I tried to get red mullet here. I got something similar, but I will cook it at a low temperature, serve it with olive oil béarnaise, which nobody will remember. Butter, because it's as good as with butter, and I'm using the Arbequina extra virgin olive oil to make this béarnaise, going with saffron breadcrumbs and Swiss chard. Third course, of course, rice. I'm making a black rice, but I'm not going to introduce all the ingredients when I first cook the rice, but I will put them on the top at the end. So it's going to be a black rice, topped with a squid, baby squid, tuna sashimi roe, and some peppers to give color. Is you can't stop eating that. I mean, it's when you get the flavor of the raw tuna with the fish, and it's amazing. This is really a very nice creation this year in my restaurant. And then we got a beef, which everybody's comfort to have a beef, but it's nothing so special. I'm not so much, it's just a piece of, I don't know how you call this in English. It's a very, very hard piece that we cook for a long time, and I serve it with tapioca.
It sounds amazing. Just giving us a little taste and flavor of what is on the full menu. 5 courses, an opportunity to taste the food from Chef Maria, inspiring us. She is a Michelin-starred chef from Spain, and so it's a real, real pleasure to have you here in the UAE for one night only. That's at Mora. Now, to reveal our mystery ingredient today and our winner. Guys, what's our mystery ingredient?
I think it's anchovies.
You would be right. It is anchovies. And our winner is Phil. So congratulations to you. You get to spend the evening there at Mora with Chef Maria to taste that amazing food. And you get the hamper from Spinney's as well. Guys, we're just about out of time. The show continues. You're going to hear more from Eat the World DXB, some street food coming to us from London, some interesting concepts. That's all happening on the 23rd of February. You get to hear some of the stories when we come back after the news. But for now, a big thank you indeed to Chef Andrea from Biche and Biche Sky Bar.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Best to your team there at the Hilton Dubai Jumeirah Resort. Thank you.
Thanks.
A big thank you to Chef Izu from the Lighthouse in Design District. All the best, and thank you so much for the apple cake.
It's a pleasure. being on board.
Thank you so much. And we haven't even talked about the huge deal that's happening for you. Your own restaurant, Izu, in Doha. You'll have to come back and talk to us about that.
Actually, I've got another one called Izu Brasserie, which is happening also in Dubai. It's more of an Italian affair.
Excellent. Well, we'll speak to you again for sure. And thank you so much to Chef Maria Jose San Roman joining us today. Thank you for sparing the time. I know you're very busy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you in Spain.
Yeah.
I'm coming. Definitely.